I enjoy getting to know people who are more than the blah blah, you know? We can literally do life and miss the point. And that is why we keep people in studio. These two happened to visit our church, brought the kids, all of them, and they taught us a few things that I think you need to know as well. Which is why Daniel and Sky Scott is with me in studio. They brought the kids, Savannah, Rivervale, and Country. Hi, guys.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm fine and fabulous. Thank you very much. Great. You know what I always do with married couples is because you know one another really well, you're the perfect people to introduce one another to people who don't know you. So, Sky, tell me about Daniel. Who is this man?
Daniel is a wonderful, godly man. We are both originally from America. He's from the state of Georgia, and he grew up in a great Christian home, came to know the Lord when he was young, gave his life to the Lord, completely surrendered to him. And then when he was in his 20s, felt a call to missions, to do evangelism and to travel to other parts of the world and tell people who didn't know about Jesus the good news.
Yeah, and personality-wise, is he the outgoing type? You know, is he the type that personality-wise would do that naturally?
That's a great question, Janine. No, actually, he's not. He's a real introvert. He would rather, be with just one or two people at a time. He is not energized by being around people. But I think when the Holy Spirit works in your life, you are empowered to do things that you wouldn't normally do in the flesh.
Yeah, he's serious about this.
Yep.
Tell me about this gorgeous wife. When she arrived at my church, she had this beautiful sunny yellow dress on and everything. And you know, women look at one another. I'm thinking, why does God put so much effort in doing one person really beautifully? But besides the fact that she's beautiful, who's this woman?
Sky is the mother of three children. She is energized by people. She's an extrovert. She's also a godly woman. And I am very fortunate that God sent her to me. There are a lot of women out there, but I got the prize. So, yeah, she's very kind to people. Very similar story. She came to know Christ in her early years and was called to Christ, called to missions in her early years, probably before 10. And the Lord just worked in her life and brought her to me and brought me to her.
And the two of you to South Africa. Why South Africa?
Well, like I said, Janine, Daniel and I had both felt a call towards missions before we ever met each other. We felt like the Lord had just laid on our hearts that there were people in the world who did not know the truth of Jesus Christ. And just like it says in Acts, we are called to be his witnesses. We're called to go out and tell the good news of Jesus. And so actually when Daniel and I met, our first conversation, I said, what are you going to do when you finish your schooling, your university? And he said, I'm going to be a missionary in Africa. And I said, well, me too. because I knew the Lord had already spoken that in my heart. So that was great to see how God worked in both of our lives separately. And then when we met each other, we were on the same path to the same place. So we got married. We were married 2 years. We moved to Zambia. We lived way out in the western province of Zambia, in maybe what you would call the real Africa. We had
in the bush, yeah.
Yeah, in the bush. We had elephants in our yard and leopards stalking our dogs. We built a house on the banks of the Zambezi River, and we ministered among a tribe of people called the Lozi people. It's a very small people group there in Zambia. Anyway, we were there for 10 years, and then God just shifted our whole focus, and we moved to South Africa in 2014. Lived in Limpopo, in the town of Mokopane. I won't try out my Afrikaans. My Potitotros. That's an American trying to say something
that's
in Afrikaans.
So cool, yeah.
So we lived there for a couple of years, and then in 2017 moved here to Pretoria to continue doing evangelism and discipleship. Those are two big words, but it really just means being a witness, telling people what Jesus has done for you, and then helping people grow in that. So.
Okay, Daniel, you don't feel that it's only people who are called to missionaries to other countries who need to be evangelizing. And evangelizing already is a word that has people seeing you on a stage and the thousands of people before you and giving their hearts to Jesus.
That's correct.
But you feel every Christian should be doing this.
Yeah, I believe it's every Christian's responsibility based on God's word. And look, we're all called to be witnesses, whether you have the gift of evangelism or not. And So yeah, we if we want to be obedient and faithful, and we're reading God's word, then that's what God's word says.
Okay, give me the lowdown.
Okay,
tell me why you say so.
Okay, well, I'm going to dive right in here a little bit and talk about from 2 Corinthians. Sorry, I need these glasses now that I'm getting older. But in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come." And then I'm, for the sake of time, I'm skipping down to verse 20. It says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though we were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled." So in those verses, when it talks about who we are, we're new creations and we're ambassadors. Those are the two things that we are. Mm-hmm. And if you are a new creation, you will be his ambassador. And you can't be his ambassador unless you've been made new.
Fact.
So that's what I consider our identity. It's not our job title. It's men love to get worked up and, you know, what's our job? You know, who are you? And they'll say what they do.
Yeah.
But what we do and who we are two different things. So our identity is very clear in 2 Corinthians. We're new creations and we're ambassadors. And once you get a grasp on that and you understand who you are, your identity, then you can go back to a verse like Mark 1. In verse 17, it says, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." And if you follow Jesus, he says, "I will make you a fisher of men." That's not an optional command or statement. And if you follow Jesus, you will fish. If you don't follow Jesus, you're not going to fish. If you don't fish, you're not following Jesus. Based on that verse.
You'll have to say that again because we don't hear it. Say it again.
Okay. All right. So it's a little bit confusing. So the verse says, "Come follow me." Jesus said this, "and I will make you fishers of men." And my statement's always, if you follow Jesus, you will go and fish. And if you're not following Jesus, you won't fish. So if you're not out fishing and being a witness, are you actually following Jesus?
Having said that, we need to get practical, because now people say, "Yeah, but it's so hard to explain this gospel." And I thought the way that you guys explain the gospel is so simple that literally anyone can get it done easily, with or without pictures. Okay, go ahead, make my day.
So many times we go out throughout our day and we want to be influences on other people. We may have an opportunity, and I pray in the mornings that God will give me opportunities. I call those God-prepared people, and that's someone that God brings across my path. And when he does it, that means they're ready to hear it. And even if it's their first time to hear the gospel, or the fifth or the hundredth time, many times we need to hear the gospel many times. Mm. But it's up to him. He brings those people across our path. But when he does, we need to be prepared. We need to be obedient and faithful and be ready to share the gospel. And that sometimes takes effort on our part. So we need to practice. So this is one of the tools that we use. It's not the only way to share the gospel, but it's one of the tools that we use to share the gospel when we get those opportunities. So this is called Three Circles. You can also find this on YouTube, but this is sort of my version that I use when someone brings me a God-prepared person.
Sorry, do you expect one every day? How often do you get a God-prepared person?
When I started, it was like one a week, and now I look for them every day. And you get good at seeing these people. Sometimes I go through a day and, you know, it's just a word of kindness or, you know, an opportunity to pray with someone. That could be your God-prepared person. Mm-hmm. It's not always the gospel. Sometimes it's just a testimony. But when I actually share the gospel, it's usually 2, 3, 4 times a week. Those opportunities just come. And I wondered before this happened in my life, I wondered before if God wasn't sending me those people because he knew I wasn't going to be obedient and faithful. Like, this is something that's only happened in my life about 8 years ago.
Sure.
God just woke me up during a training that we went through, and he convicted me that I wasn't being obedient and faithful. So when someone comes across my path and we're talking, you know, we're talking about, you know, whatever sports, the Springboks or whatever, many times before I let that person go into Pretoria, I may never see them again. I'm like, hey, can I share something with you that changed my life? That's sort of my lead-in question. And I've never had someone say no. I've had someone occasionally look at their arm, you know, their watch, and it's like, and I'm like,
do you have to?
It'll take me 2 or 3 minutes. And they're like, oh, okay, go ahead. And this is where I start. I always start in brokenness. So I was like, look, we live in a world that's full of brokenness. And we can see that with, you know, there's disease, there's famine, there's sickness.
Politics.
ESCOM. There's all sorts of things that are not working how God intended them. But God had a perfect plan. And in the original days, his perfect plan was the way he designed it. But here we are years later, and we're living in brokenness. And we got separated from God's perfect plan by doing life our own way. And that's something that we call sin. Mm. When we do life our own way, that's not doing life God's way. So in that brokenness, we see people trying to get out all the time on their own. And we see people doing it through, they think if they get the perfect education or if they marry the right person, or some people think if I make a lot of money, you know, but we see a lot of wealthy people that are still in brokenness. Some people think, well, if I do drugs and alcohol, I can escape my pain. And some people even try to get out through something like suicide. Mm. They just try to end it and get out of their brokenness. But none of those will get you out. You cannot do it by yourself. And all of those, usually you bounce right back into brokenness and you're worse off than when you began because you're doing it on your own. You cannot get out of that state that you're in, that spiritual brokenness. But God doesn't leave us in those two areas. He sent his son Jesus down to earth, and Jesus lived a perfect life. He had all the same temptations that you and I have, and yet he was perfect. And then he took on that brokenness. He died on the cross to save us so that we would not have to make that payment if we choose to follow him. And so Jesus didn't just die. He rose from the dead 3 days later, and that makes him all-powerful. He defeated death. And the Bible says if you're willing to turn away from your old life and follow him, that he will restore you back to the Father. He will give you that life that you're looking for. He will take you out of that brokenness and restore you back to his way of living. And that's where we find our salvation. And he says, look, if you'll make him the king of your life, he becomes the Lord. He becomes the guy that leads you out of brokenness.
And he makes you new.
And he makes us a new creation right here. Let you see where Sky drew on the board
the
here.
The shiny person.
Yeah. So I don't know if you have anything to add to that,
Sky. And then at the end, you ask the question.
And then, yes. So when I finish this, I usually pull out a little pad that I have here in my pocket. You know, it's a little notepad, and I write it on a sheet of paper, and I tear it out, and I give them my name and number. But before I let them go, I usually say, where do you see yourself? Are you in God's plan, and you've accepted him, and you're walking with him? Or do you see yourself still in brokenness, and you know there's something that you need to help you get out of that broken state? And then I wait. I sit there, and I wait, and I'm quiet. And usually they'll tell me, hey, I'm still in brokenness. And I'm like, okay, would you like to get out of that? What's keeping you from leaving that state of brokenness? And that's when you lead someone to Christ right there.
Okay, South Africa, we know and we like that middle answer.
Yeah.
I'm not too hot. I'm not too cold.
That's correct.
I don't think I'm in brokenness. I'll put myself there in the middle.
Yeah, occasionally somebody says, I'm right here in the middle. I'm like, well, that's not really an option. You're either in brokenness or you're in God's plan. You're either lost or you're saved. There's two types of people on the earth, and it's not white or black. It's not Hispanic, where I'm from, or Asian. You're either lost or you're saved. You're following Jesus or you're not.
Okay, now you've spoken. Say it's the waiter. You're at a restaurant and you've been lucky pairing with Thabo. Yeah, and Thabo says, yeah, okay. different people will give different answers. Mm. And you've got expectations of those answers as well. And you've got to somehow take it from there. So what are the answers you get when you ask these people?
Yeah, Janine, we do this training for a lot of people, and we train people they can expect certain answers. So a lot of times you will get what we call like a green light person. Mm. And they recognize they're in brokenness, that they need Jesus, and they're ready to leave that brokenness and come back into God's perfect plan. And so, you know, if you follow the picture or the example that we've used here, you can say, listen, the way out of brokenness is you turn away from living life your own way. You follow Jesus, make him the king of your life, because you realize that he came and died on the cross for you to take away your sins. And then he will make you a new person. That's the easy one, the green light people. And we would say, don't, if somebody wants to come into the kingdom and give their life to Jesus, don't refer them to your pastor. Don't invite them to church. I mean, those are good things. But you, as a believer in Jesus, you have the authority to be able to show them how to come out of brokenness.
Do it right away. I have to ask you. Are you becoming their pastor then? Because that's another one of the reasons why people don't want to get involved, is that there's implications on your life, or send them to a church.
Definitely. Yes, I think, you know, just like as a parent births a child, then you have a responsibility to help that child grow. And spiritually, I think it's the same as well, that when you help someone come out of brokenness into new life with Jesus, you do have a responsibility. And that is an amazing thing. It shouldn't be looked at as a burden. Mm. It should be like, wow, God has entrusted me to help somebody else learn what it looks like to walk in his path. Yes, of course, you can invite them to your church. You can take them to your Bible study group, whatever. But don't make it their responsibility. It is your God-given responsibility, and he will give you what you need to be able to do that.
It's called discipleship, right?
Yeah. Discipleship.
That's what we're all supposed to do.
Great commandment. Yeah. Oh, we've only got 2 minutes left, so yes. I have to ask you, Orange? Obviously,
yes.
If you've got green,
yes,
and orange.
So sometimes we get orange or yellow people who would say that they're very not sure, that they might want to talk about it later. So make an appointment. Say, look, I can tell that you're interested in this, but you're not ready to make a decision. Can I meet with you at a later time? Make a date right then. Say, let's meet Tuesday for coffee at 10 o'clock at wherever. And then sometimes we do get people who are what we say red light, which would be someone who says, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in any of this stuff.
But maybe we should let them invite us and we'll do a training and teach them how to deal with red light. How's that for a cliffhanger? Huh?
Okay. I'm game.
But we do need to say, if you have a red light person, you know, we encourage them, you to ask them, say, what could God do in your life that would change your mind? And we have gotten some really crazy answers from people who have just told us that they're atheist, and then all of a sudden they're thinking very hard about what God could do in their life that would change their mind. Wow. And then the agreement is, if God does that thing, I'm going to pray that God does that thing, whatever it is that you've told me. And if God does it, then we are going to talk about you coming out of your brokenness and following Jesus.
Well, are you, Daniel? You've got to tell that one.
Yeah. Oh, the guy in Mauritius. Uh-huh. Yeah, a friend of mine, he met a guy. The guy was like, no, I'm not interested. I'm an atheist. And the guy was like, okay, well, what would it take for you to become a Christian, and or to us talk about, have this conversation? And he said, well, I've been a busboy at this restaurant for years and years, and I don't have a chance of being a waiter, but if God gave me that opportunity, I would do it. The next week, he calls my friend, is like, you won't believe what happened. And my friend was like, yeah, you became a waiter. God gave you that opportunity. He said, we prayed about it. So they got together. The guy gives his life to Jesus. He's discipling this guy. 2 or 3 weeks, he doesn't show up. My friend calls the restaurant, and the restaurant says, you didn't hear? On the way to work this morning, he got hit and killed by a vehicle. He was 2 weeks away from eternity.
And we've got to do this. We've got to do
right.
this. How do people connect with you?
You're welcome to give us a call. Daniel's phone number is 063-349-2617.
She's going to do that slower. Yes, let's try that again.
Or they can contact the radio station and they'll put them in contact with us.
Yeah, you can also do that. But Daniel's number is 063-349-2617. You can also go on YouTube and just Google for Three Circles Evangelism. If you type that in, it's not our official site, but you'll get this picture, and then practice. Be a light in this world. God has made you a light.